That's all I'm saying. I think Flair was screwed either way.
Yeah.
I think if he stayed in WWE, he would not have been treated as a legend that he was and deserved to be. And I think by going back to WCW, there were enough political forces. And he just wasn't politically savvy enough. I mean, he was. There's something about being two-faced and not standing up for yourself and being a total, you know, always just, you know, baby-facing people to the point where they don't trust you and it just gets sappy. And I mean, it's just, there was just a level of respect that Flair did not command behind the scenes that he did with fans who watched his Nature Boy Ric Flair character on the air. And it's sad. I mean, we wrote about it. Both of us wrote about it repeatedly from the late 80s on that Flair just didn't stand up for himself and demand the type of respect he should have, you know, over the years.
Well, I mean, I know as a fan, I thought very early on in the 80s when Dusty Rhodes was there that he should have stood up at Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
And I know that I was, you know, in the Carolinas and the Mid-Atlantic particularly, the old Mid-Atlantic, there was always that split. And that particularly when Dusty was losing his ability to be on top and push himself harder and harder, that he could have set, you know, he could have saved that company by going in and saying, this stops now.
I know.
And,
yep.
And he didn't. And like that, you know, there's a, and then I should be the top babyface. And it's, you know, and he didn't. And that was until it was way too late. He did do it, but it was way too late by the time they came down. And it was always
it's weird too, because he always found himself number two in the power structure totem pole. He was number two behind Dusty. He was number two behind Bischoff. He was number two behind Hogan. He was number two behind the NWO. He never got himself to that spot where he had the juice and the power to push other rivals down, and he always had that potential that was always there, and
other rivals down when it was the right thing to do, when he had earned the right, and he had earned the right, you know, and it should have been done, and it was like, and it was easier and all that kind of thing. And even on that DVD, and I know I'll write about it at some point in the liner notes. I think I've written about some in the Four Horsemen DVD. They're talking about what happened to Jim Crockett Promotions, and they put the heat, and deservedly so, on Jim Crockett. But Dusty, because he's entrenched in WWE, they completely, just bypassed the serious amount of responsibility Dusty Rhodes holds in that situation. And also, I mean, one of the things they talk about the Horsemen and blah, 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 how great the Horsemen were and, you know, how so cool, how they dressed and all that. One of the things that the Horsemen got over as the cult heel thing and became baby faces was because it was also a reaction to Dusty Rhodes sucking. Dusty Rhodes getting too fat and pushed himself to pushed himself down people's throats to an unbelievable.
People haven't seen, like, if people think Triple H any time in the last 8 years has overpushed himself, I mean, Triple H at his worst wasn't 50% of what Dusty did when he was
pushing himself.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, and you know, I mean, the two I've ever seen in my life are Hogan and Dusty, and in some ways, Dusty was worse.
Dusty pushed himself harder than anybody I've ever seen who had a position of power. I mean, I've seen individual wrestlers push really, really hard, including Steve Austin, when Raw was still behind in the ratings, and Austin was clearly delivering eyeballs from WCW. People were switching when he was on, and they would put him on literally every quarter in some form or fashion, and it's one of the reasons Raw came back and won the ratings war. That was more than Dusty, but it was for a shorter span of time, and it was a promoter deciding Austin deserved that, and numbers were producing it. With Dusty, I've never seen anybody push himself that hard. I would say the one rival on a smaller scale was Eric Embry.
Yeah.
I mean, Eric Embry at the end of World Class, that was bad.
Yeah, I mean, that was. I mean, that's up there. And you got, I always had the distinct impression that Eric Embry was trying to set himself as Dusty Rhodes and watch Dusty Rhodes. He was watching Dusty Rhodes do the same thing. And that part's there. It's it's tough, but the idea that he didn't want to go back to WCW, or WCW was completely in disarray. WCW was a mess, but they pushed him, and his stuff wasn't completely a mess then.
Yeah,
and you know, he was respected more, and held up more, and that kind of
thing. Well, and he had the fan base and the region, and
I mean, it was just, and it was one of those things where it's kind of like when Hogan came to WCW, it just looked wrong for a while because he was so, associated with WWF. Well, when Ric Flair came back to WCW, it was him coming back home, kind of thing.
That concludes our free 5-minute sample clip of the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show Update, Part 2, for Saturday, August 2nd. The entire Bruce Mitchell Audio Show Part 2 was 55 minutes, and on Friday, Part 1 ran close to 80 minutes. And we talked about a lot of current events and answered a lot of other reader questions, which are summarized in the paragraph above the link to this audio clip. Anyway, if you are interested in VIP membership and want to hear all of the Torch VIP audio shows, we run over 50 per month, sometimes more than 60, just click on the VIP sign-up button in the upper left corner of the screen right under our main logo. That'll tell you all you need to know about becoming a member, and we would welcome you as a member, of course. And there's a lot more than just audio. Hundreds and hundreds of Torch back issues from the 90s and 2000s, including tons of Torch Talk interviews, the standard for wrestling industry interviews of some of wrestling's top stars, Jesse Ventura, Steve Austin, The Rock, Goldberg, their longest interviews they've done in their career, and the most insider feature-length long interviews were done as Torch Talks, and they're available in our archives, many, many, many others. Plus, the new Torch newsletter every week in PDF format that you can read online in native format or print out. Ad-free access to the main listing, and a lot more. So hope you'll maybe give consideration to checking it out for a month. And if you enjoy these audio updates, I think you will enjoy being a member. Okay, that's it. Until next time, this is PW Torch editor Wade Keller thanking you for listening and your support of the Torch, and signing off.